I call to order this emergency meeting of Simpsonville City Council, March 24th, 2020 at 4 p.m. Diana Gracely, City Administrator, will you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Gooch?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly? Councilmember Houlihan?
Here.
Councilmember Cummings?
Here.
Councilmember Roche?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Here. Before we get started on the emergency motion, does anybody have anything that they would like to say?
In relation to, sir?
Just in relation to the whole situation going on, why we have to have an emergency meeting. I'm thinking in terms of what I want to say is just thank you to the city staff and the police department, our first responders, our city attorney for helping us formulate this thing, and members of council, I thank you as well. We've got a lot of big things going on. Especially thank the citizens and our businesses that are so impacted by this. I know that people are patronizing their favorite restaurants as carry out, doing the right things, social distancing. I know we all want this to be over. What we need to do is worry less about the unknown and the unknowable, but think in terms of what do I do today, right now? And that's the things that we can do to help. We all have to pull together while staying appropriately apart. That being said,
Mayor Hutchings, I would just like to say that I'd like to ask everyone to continue to support our local businesses, our restaurants and local businesses. And I know that a lot of businesses are concerned right now about their business, and I would certainly be hope that we can make some moves in the future to help the businesses along through this period of time.
Anyone else?
I'll reserve comments for after the motion's made.
Okay. So at this time, the only item on the agenda, it's good for Administrator Gracely, with the help of our city attorney, to summarize the ordinance, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll defer to our city attorney, Mr. Holmes.
Mayor, members of council, you have in front of you ordinance number E-2020-001, which is an emergency ordinance that provides a number of things that I'd like to go over with you. As all of you know, on March 13, 2020, the President of the United States declared a national emergency. Following that, almost immediately, the governor of South Carolina declared a state of emergency existed in South Carolina as a result of the outbreak of the virus known as COVID-19. Since that day, the governor of South Carolina has issued a series of executive orders. He issued one as late as yesterday afternoon. They number his executive orders similar to the way we number our ordinances, and I believe he's up to 12 now. So that indicates how this is a fluid situation. The ordinance that you have in front of you now has been modified 4 different times because different things have come up. But what this ordinance does is it declares for the city of Simpson a state of emergency as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak. It provides that council meetings will be conducted via electronic means. All of you have to be here today because you, in your code of ordinances, Robert's Rules of Order basically requires by negative implication that you have to be present at meetings. Also, you have provided typically for public participation in those meetings. Announced as an emergency meeting, and the public was advised not to attend. As you know, the governor and the President of the United States have slowly been modifying the number of people that can be together at once. The number was 10. Now the governor has empowered, by the most recent executive order, local law enforcement and state law enforcement to ask groups of greater than 3 to break up, and has provided for penalties if they don't do that again as a result of this outbreak. So the public was not invited to this meeting, and the sole reason for doing that is to cooperate with the United States and the governor of South Carolina to not ask people to come into a venue where they might be exposed to the virus. Your ordinance also provides that they are not going to attend your meetings. We're looking at other ways, like for now, we're putting it out electronically where the public will be able to see your proceedings. In the future, they may be able to hear them. We're ordinance provides specifically that it will be by electronic means. We're not 100% sure what that's going to mean. I know that other agencies have used electronic meetings, including local churches, and sometimes the internet gets overwhelmed with the number of people but we're going to do everything we can to see the public remains fully informed of your proceedings. All of you know your agendas are posted online. Your minutes get posted online. We have routinely in Simpsonville for probably the last 10 years posted as soon as we can after a meeting an actual audio of the entire meeting. And now we're going to try to provide video as it happens, if we possibly can do that. The administrator is given the authority the requirement to determine how public access will be given. And Ms. Gracely is in the process of doing that. She's also authorized to cancel public events, revoke any previously public assembly permit, close public facilities, and to determine the operating hours of city facilities. All of you may know that we have various recreational venues. You do have recreational equipment. It's common for members of the public to go try to use that equipment. I don't know if the city has the way to sanitize all of that equipment, but besides, even if it did, the minute it was touched, it would need to be cleaned. We have a number of people trying to use those facilities, so for the safety of the public, they may be closed down if they're not already. The city administrator is also authorized to allow non-essential employees to work remotely if possible, decide whether to discontinue non-essential services, and decide what employees are not required to report for work. The ordinance provides that those employees who are not required to report need to receive full pay and benefits in spite of that. The ordinance also provides that businesses are going to be allowed to pay their business license tax without incurring a penalty up until May 30, 2020. Right now, your ordinance provides that they have to pay those business license taxes by April 30, 2020. I wanted to point out to all of you that this is an emergency ordinance, so it will become effective immediately upon passage today. It does not require two votes. As a result, under state law, your emergency ordinance will automatically end on the 61st day following its passage. I also wanted to point out to you that while I have listed these enumerated things in the ordinance, that has been done after trying to look at a number of different ordinances, look at the executive orders. I've been in communication with Ms. Gracely, but it's up to council to decide if that list is sufficient or if any of those items should be deleted. I want you to understand these are my suggestions, but I'm trying to put something in front of you to discuss today, and we think we've covered it today. Have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them.
Thank you, Councilor. The motion is in order. Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I move we adopt Ordinance E-2020-01, an emergency ordinance to declare a state of emergency, to set procedures for council meetings as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, to allow council meetings to be conducted by electronic means, to disallow public attendance at council meetings, to direct the city administrator to provide public access to meetings via the internet, to amend the deadline to pay business license taxes until May 30, 2020, and various provisions relating thereto.
Second. We have a motion and by Councilmember Gooch and a second by Councilmember Hutchings to adopt the ordinance E-2020-01, an emergency ordinance to declare a state of emergency, to set procedures for council meetings as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, to allow council meetings to be conducted by electronic means, to disallow public attendance at council meetings, to direct the city administrator to provide public access to meetings via the internet, to amend the deadline to pay business license taxes until May 30, 2020, and various provisions relating thereto. Discussion? Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you. These are trying times, and while an emergency ordinance is in order, there are parts of it that do concern me. I do hate that we will no longer have the public available to come to our meetings. So for those who are listening to this meeting and will watch it later, please contact your members of council. Let us know what it is you want us to be working on, what's important to you. We still want to have as open a government as possible. I look forward to the day we can have you back in the room and we can all do this together again. For our business owners, of which I am one. This is a very trying and concerning time. We're doing what we can at the moment, and as we know more and learn more, I'm sure we will add other things to these provisions that will help businesses in the city of Simpsonville. And for our citizens, I'm sure we're going to come through this as we've come through other things in the past. We have survived hurricanes, tornadoes, other issues in the past, and we've come out of it stronger than ever. So, folks, just stay home as you can and stay healthy, and we'll see everybody on the other side of this thing and be better for it. Thank you.
Other discussion? Councilmember Rochette.
One question for City Administrator Gracely. Are all, does this provide for all of our city employees to be paid and taken care of during this time?
Yes, ma'am, it does.
So no one's left out of the loop at all?
No one's being furloughed.
Fabulous, thank you.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Question regarding public access to meetings on the internet. Will we be doing that on a regular basis on future council meetings? In other words, will all future council meetings during this period be posted on the internet?
All of the agendas will be posted. All of the materials will be posted. We are looking at a teleconference option, so it would not be a live stream like we're having today. It would be a call-in teleconference that you can all do from your homes. I would participate as well from my home or from here, but we would all be remotely located while we're doing that, and so it would likely not be a live stream or an internet or face-to-face. It would be just teleconference is the option we're looking at.
Thank you.
Councilmember Houlihan.
The ordinance gives you the authority as the city administrator to determine who is essential and who is non-essential, to send non-essential employees home to work remotely, or to determine who should not come to work at all. How are you determining who is or is not essential?
Well, obviously, first responders are essential. Right now, public works, sanitation remains essential, although we do use a third-party contractor for that. At the moment, until we're sheltered in place, as we are able to maintain a safe distance working from this location, we are still continuing to come in and do that. Up until yesterday, City Hall had very limited access to the public. Yesterday, we closed it to the public, and we've posted phone number, email addresses, and asked people to go back out and call us, and we try to handle their needs as they are here, or at least give them some assurance that we'll handle their need in the very short term. We're at least able to talk with them while we're here. Of course, if it becomes necessary to have everyone work from home, there are some services that can't be done from home. There will be occasions where a staff member will need to come here, for instance, to do payables, but we will have one person come in and do their part of that process. And then there'll be a period in between. Then we'll have another person come in, because we do have checks and balances for payables and things like that. We don't want more than, once we get to that point, if we get to that point, we won't want more than one person here at a time. So we are establishing some protocols and some provisions for that. But right now, although the Centerplex is closed, the Senior and Activity Center is closed, we're officially closed, we are here. All the fire departments do not allow public access now, nor have they since this began. Of course, they're all still responding. So we're just sort of taking this as it comes. We do have a plan, a contingency plan, so that when we are not able to come here, we will still be able to conduct the business of the city remotely, including council meetings, which is the main impetus for this. We are going to try to continue to serve the public as much as we possibly can. We just closed the parks yesterday because of the issues with, you know, we did sanitize all of the playground equipment, but as mentioned earlier, as soon as it's touched, then it's not sanitary anymore. Public restrooms were a concern, so we've closed all of those things. We're really trying to follow the state and federal government and encourage people to do the same, social distance, you know, not congregate together, and to just stay home as much as possible. And we'll do that too as we need to from the City Hall standpoint.
City have in place already any telecommuting guidelines or regulations, or is that something you're creating all from scratch?
We're creating that from scratch. We do have one employee who's immune compromised, and she's been at home since this started. But she's done that before during other periods. So we have some experience with it with another employee, and we'll just put that basically in writing. So that we can adopt that policy for everyone who's going to be included in that in the near future.
Have the technology in place, like we're talking about having it here and how we would conduct things as a council, you're looking into options there. Is there something that the city already has for employees for that purpose?
We do have several employees who have laptops that they can take home and work from home. Those are the more essential finance functions that are able to do that. There are some things that just simply will not work from home, like accounts receivable, accounts payable. All of those mechanisms are here. So obviously someone's going to have to come in and run those checks because bills still have to be paid. Taxes still have to be processed. Payroll still has to be run. So there are some things that are going to have to happen from this location. But as I mentioned, they will happen with only one person in the building at a time for safety.
Is there any foreseeable negative impact to the city by delaying the, by extending the deadline for the business license fee?
No, I don't see one for that at all. In fact, you know, I think it's the prudent thing to do to offer businesses not only the opportunity to delay payment, but obviously they have much bigger concerns right now, like keeping the door open. And, you know, even processing a permit application right now is a burden for them, notwithstanding the payment. You know, they do have, I'm sure, crisis management that they're trying to conduct themselves. And we want to lessen the burden as much as we can without putting any kind of financial, adversarial financial policy on the city. And I think that we, you know, this will not have any sort of adversarial impact on the city's finances or receivables. We can certainly delay 30 days. And I hope we don't have to do this again, but if we do, you know, this is a 60-day ordinance. We'll put other protocols in place if necessary to get us beyond the 60-day terminus of this, if need be.
I think that overall, we have an obligation, obviously, to protect the city itself, to protect the people who live here, the people who own businesses here, to protect the employees who work here. And I think that everything we've got going in this ordinance does that, accomplishes those goals. Meets those objectives for us and allows us to do the work that we need to do to keep the city running, to protect the citizens, the city itself, its finances, and the people that we are put up here to work for and to protect. So I'm in favor of the ordinance as written.
Comments? Discussion?
Councilmember Gooch.
A few follow-up questions for you. As to finances for the city, we've worked very hard for a long time to get in a position where we're in good position. Can you just briefly describe for the public the financial footing the city is on?
Well, thankfully, just a couple months ago, you all heard a very good audit report from our auditor who said that as long as they've been conducting the city's audit, this is the strongest financial position they've seen the city of Simpsonville in. It is a very, very strong financial position. There is a reason why we maintain cash reserves and a fund balance. This, you know, we didn't see it coming, but it's here. And this is one of the reasons why you all are so fiscally prudent and you make sure that we maintain that fund balance. So we are in good shape for that. Ms. Farino and I have been working furiously last week to complete the FY21 budget. Knowing that it's possible that we may not be able to be in the same room again much longer, so we wanted to complete that. We were very conservative with our revenue projections, understanding that this will not only impact the current fiscal year that we're in, but the next fiscal year as well, even if it ended in a couple weeks, which I don't think it will, unfortunately. I think it's going to go on much longer than that, and it may go into the new fiscal year, but even today it's impacting the next fiscal year. So we tried to keep those things in mind as we were preparing the FY21 budget. I have a draft of that you all will be getting later this week, with once I have a chance to summarize everything. I'll give you the actual document and the summary. So you'll be able to see that we've taken those things into account. The unforeseen, obviously, is going to be really impactful on our hospitality and accommodations taxes. It may be impactful as well on business license taxes, because there may be some businesses that are not able to continue beyond this. I certainly hope that that's a very, very small minority, if any. And as Ms. Houlihan mentioned, and Mr. Hutchings, we're going to do everything we can to help get them through this. Urging people to continue to support them is the one thing we can all do. So I do believe that we are in a very strong financial position. The public is welcome to go on the website and review that most recent audit to look at our monthly transactions and see that we are being very fiscally prudent. And it's for reasons like this that we need to do that, so that we're prepared for an emergency.
Okay. And then my final question goes towards for our first responders. Everybody's working, correct?
Everybody is working.
If they call, they will come?
Yes.
Do they have all the equipment and items they need to keep everybody safe and healthy?
They do. Chief Williams and Chief Hanshaw have assured me that right now they have an ample supply of what they need. Typically, the police would respond with the fire departments on medical calls, but they've suspended that temporarily so that they can conserve some of those medical supplies, so that now only the EMTs are responding. So the fire department personnel are responding without law enforcement to conserve those supplies and to limit their exposure as well.
But they are still able to take care of our citizens.
They absolutely are, and they are currently putting their new scheduling in place so that if we go to a shelter-in-place situation, they have increased patrols and they have extra units out around the city to protect businesses as they're closed.
Thank you for being on top of this, and please let everybody on the staff know that we've got their back, and we're in it with them, and we're in it with the citizens too, because we live here too. Thank you.
Councilmember Roche?
One more thing. Along with extra patrols to protect the businesses during this time, there's been a lot of discussion at the county level about whether or not the county police, the sheriff's department, would be actively breaking up groups, you know, that are trying to gather in parks. We've had an issue with that in our neighborhood with the HOA park. I've gotten one other call from another neighborhood concern people in their HOA. What is Simpsonville Police Department doing? Are they increasing patrols? I mean, we have a lot of young people with a lot of energy, and they're tired of being pent up already, and we're just beginning. Some shenanigans are happening, so can you give us some assurance that the police are on top of that?
Yes, and I have passed that information along to the chief, who has put that with the patrol captain, so that all of the officers who are out on patrol are aware that those things are happening and to be looking out for it, and to encourage them to disband. And of course, with the governor's latest order of no more than three, that's going to make it easier for them to do that. So yes, they are keenly aware that that's happening. I would urge for all of the parents out there who are watching this live stream to please do your part and keep your teenagers, your young children away from groups of people, just because that's the prudent thing to do. Not only from a law enforcement standpoint or any kind of mischievous activity that would happen, but for public health and safety. I mean, first and foremost, that's the most important thing. That's what we're talking about. So I would encourage the parents to really take some responsibility there and try to watch their children more carefully and make sure that, you know, we're all following the president and the governor's guidelines to keep us all safe. And the police will certainly be doing their part as well.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Hutchings.
I have a question along the same lines. As far as the police department goes, will the protocol for reporting and responding to criminal activity be the same, or are the changes there?
There are some changes, and we put those in effect right away when all of this first started, and that is that non-emergency reports will be taken by phone, interviews will be done by phone, so that to limit the face-to-face contact, limit that contact.
Hospitality and accommodations tax regulations, is there any impact to that in this current ordinance?
No, not in this current ordinance. The main reason being that it's a very slippery slope when you start getting into the extending deadlines for the hospitality or accommodations tax, because those are taxes that are remitted by the users, by the taxpayers, and that's simply collected by the businesses. It's not money that should be part of the cash flow of those businesses. So, you know, we're keeping those deadlines the same. Although certainly if there's a day or two swing where there's a delinquency, we'll be mindful of that, because right now is a very stressful time for everyone. And like I mentioned earlier, the businesses have other things on their minds. So we'll certainly, you know, work with them if they're a couple of days late on that. But I think for the most part, most of those were remitted on time, and that due date was the 20th for February collections.
Thank you. I'd also like to extend my gratitude to the city staff and all the personnel for the response that they've had so far and what they're having to deal with at this time. Thank you.
Councilmember Cummings, do you have any comments or questions?
Sorry, I was talking to myself. No, there was a couple questions that I had, but they were already addressed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any concerns or I think anything come up for you, Councilor?
No, sir.
All right, then. Are we ready for the question? So I'm going to, since we are doing this electronically, I'm going to poll each member. Councilmember Cummings, as under our current rules, you need to be present in order to vote. I will ask you what your position is, but it won't count towards the vote. We do have a quorum present. So signify by saying aye or nay when I call your name. Councilmember Gooch?
Aye.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Aye.
Councilmember Roche?
Aye.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Aye.
And I vote aye. It's unanimous. The motion to adopt ordinance E-2020-01, an emergency ordinance to declare a state of emergency to set procedures for council meetings as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, to allow council meetings to be conducted via electronic means, to disallow public attendance at council meetings, to direct the city administrator to provide public access to meetings via the internet, to amend the deadline to pay business license taxes until May 30th, 2020, and various provisions relating thereto, carries. Are there any further comments? Without objection, meeting is adjourned.